Hello, and welcome to the Game Slate Podcast, episode 154. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
I'm Zelda Queen.
And with us, our special guests, Rocky's Magic Number and Rampage.
Wait, I'm here?
What's up, everybody?
And this week, we're going to talk a bit about gaming nostalgia, starting in the 8-bit era.
Yeah, we felt that with the last of the new generation of gaming consoles launching, maybe we should kind of look back at the former generations. What we liked about them, what we hated about them.
What we miss about them.
I think we'll see a lot more of that on the oldest generations, because that's when we all started gaming, and that's when we have the most nostalgia. That and I don't care what anybody says, any game from the 8-bit Nintendo era is harder than any game they make now.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's a phrase out there called Nintendo hard.
And there's a reason that there's a reason for it.
Nintendo games are the most infuriating, awful. I remember playing Mega Man 2 with my friend. He literally had a tape on the center of his television. Not a tape, like a cassette tape, a little strip of tape to mark where the center of the television was. Because when you had, like, using the super jump power for Mega Man, like when you use even, like, Game Genie or something like that, you always knew Mega Man was always in the center of the screen, so he'd always just line that up with a tape mark in the middle of the screen there, and he could land Mega Man on the blocks while using Super Jump with the good Game Genie.
Well, that brings up something up, is the fact that we needed Game Genie.
We needed Game Genie, yeah.
Am I the only one who never had a Game Genie? I thought it was cheating. I was like, it's a hack.
Oh, it's totally a hack. Totally cheating, but we still had it.
I had it for a later generation. I never had it for the original NES.
Game Genie was the only reason I beat Super Mario Bros. 3.
Yeah, the most entertaining thing in the world was playing Super Mario Bros. 3 with the Hammer Brothers suit, you know, for
the
all
entire time.
Yes. I kill all the ghosts. Throwing
Man,
hammers
guys,
everywhere.
I never had one for any system.
I'm so mad right now.
I finished all these games that you're talking about. I finished Super Mario Bros. 3 by myself, and 2, and 1. And I didn't always use the cheat, either. I knew all the warp zones, but...
Let's see. Let me start a list of all the NES games I have never beaten. All of them.
I think I might have beaten the Tiny Toons game.
That one was hard.
I remember playing that for Super Nintendo.
It was on the NES. It was hard. Especially when you got to the crazy dodo world. I can't remember what it's called. Wacko-Land?
When my parents ran their company, you know, we had the NES there. So us kids were sitting at our parents' work with nothing to do except literally play the NES. Because outside is a workshop.
Yeah, let's not have little kids running around there.
Oh, that didn't stop us from running around there, but it was safer to be inside with the NES.
Yeah. Let's see. One of the harder games, I had Metroid 1. I never got past, like, 2 or 3 worlds or whatever it is. Probably the game I played the most was Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers.
Yes!
I remember that one.
Wow! Picking up the apples and throwing the robot. Mm-hmm. That game was so hard, because you, like, fought that one cat, and you beat it, and yeah, I win, but it wasn't Fat Cat. You know, Fat Cat was later, and he was even harder.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo hates us. And speaking of the Disney games, DuckTales.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're redoing that game for modern consoles, but, like, same game, just better everything.
It's got a graphical facelift, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
It's the standard Capcom re-release graphical. You know, they've basically got the outer frame going around it, and they've upgraded all the HDs. But, yeah, it does look...
Apparently they actually did add some more enemies in another level or two, though.
So you're saying they made it harder?
Yes.
Impossible, are you kidding me?
I must have been weird. I never played any of the Disney ones.
I couldn't figure out how to do half the moves in DuckTales. I was like, how do I do the bouncing on the king thing?
Oh, yeah.
And they hit it with, like, a golf club, and I'm like, look at the instruction thing. It's like, okay, do that and that.
How I hit Kane.
Exactly. Well, DuckTales is a good one. The Nintendo game that gives me the most nostalgia when I was younger, or much younger, I'm like 29 now, so it's like, back in my day.
Well, if you look at video game generations and how long it's been since the NES has been purchasable,
it is kind of back in the day.
Yeah.
So, but growing up in a cul-de-sac with a bunch of kids our age, one of the kids had a Nintendo, and he would play Final Fantasy on it. Not to launch into another Final Fantasy discussion, but I just distinctly remember wanting to play, because Final Fantasy is a one-player game. He would just make us sit there and watch him and not come do something else. What a jerk. But another good one was the Batman game. Surprisingly, a really good game that's based on a movie. Because usually those games are terrible when you get a game based on a movie or a superhero or whatever.
Or a cartoon show.
Yeah. Usually they're awful, but this Batman game was really, really good and really, really, really hard.
Speaking of really, really hard, I remember playing, like, Bucky O'Hare and, like, the space of something, something.
I watched a guy who was talking about his top 10, like, games that got kind of overshadowed that were really good, and it was a terrible Saturday morning cartoon, but he's like, he goes, this game was actually solid. He goes, it was challenging, the characters were interesting, because you could actually flip through the characters, which was something, you know, unusual at the time, but yeah, he was actually made mention of that. I was like, really?
Yeah, because I remember renting that game multiple times and never getting nowhere near beating it, but it was still pretty fun.
It was just Bucky O'Hare.
Yeah.
One of the cooler games I ever played for it, too, was it was like the F-16 Strike Eagle Flight Simulator for Nintendo, and it was awesome. Like, it wasn't terribly difficult, but you did get to kind of have, like, fly around and shoot down SAM sites and fire on enemy planes and stuff like that. For a Nintendo game, it was good, I guess. Like, I don't know. You got your little square controller with the two buttons and the four-axis thing, and you're flying an airplane with it. And that was pretty good.
Speaking of the square controller, I remember having blisters on my fingers from holding that
palms digging into the palms.
Yeah, the corners, yeah. Yeah. Now, did anyone else ever play the impossibly hard Star Wars game?
No.
Oh, God.
Not for the NES.
The NES one was awful. It was, like, you could hardly tell what was going on because it's like, you have, you know, Luke is in, you know, like, white and yellow, and then all of Tatooine is basically white and yellow. So it's like, where
graphical limitations! No, I never played it. I played Star Wars on the Atari, specifically The Empire Strikes Back, where you're basically the rebel starfighters, you know, taking down the AT-ATs on Hoth. That game just keeps going and going and going. There's never an end. It's just you see how far and how many AT-ATs you can take down. When I was little, I could not play it at all. When I went back, I was like, oh, I was taking down AT-ATs like it was nobody's business. But, man, it's much better on the 64. We can circle.
Yeah. The 64 one was pretty good, if I recall.
Shadows of the Empire.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Atari, and I think I could use it as an interesting segue, just because, do you remember there's, like, the urban legend that, like, there's 7 trillion Atari games or whatever, and they buried them all in a landfill
Specifically.
Specifically, it was the E.T. games.
But the thing is, everything came out. There were zillions of games for the Atari, and they weren't necessarily marketable games. It's like, hey, can we make this game for the Atari? Sure, do it. Yay, game. Yep. They did the same thing with the Nintendo. Everybody
actually Nintendo was more difficult. Nintendo had that seal.
Yeah.
So if you actually wanted your game to be
official,
people to buy it, you actually had to have that official seal. And there was a company that tried to make their own Nintendo cartridges. Nintendo sued them for doing it and won.
I had one of those cartridges. It was a Pac-Man knockoff. The cartridge looked completely different. It was a different color. It had, like, different back, but yeah.
Which are those ones that were, like, the black one with kind of a tapered top?
Yeah.
Yeah, and wow, there was also, like, blue-colored ones and stuff. I never realized there was bootleg, like, sort of NES games. But I was, like, 5 when we had an NES. My dad bought an NES for himself more than me and my brother. He played it way more than we did.
My mom would actually claim the NES on certain nights because she wanted to play Tetris.
Oh, Tetris.
So
my uncle played Tetris on his old brick of a Game Boy for, like, 15 years. It was the only game he owned or cared about.
I remember that kind of game, though, that you can really just buy a system. It's kind of like Pokemon, you know? Not literally at all, but, like, you could buy a DS just to play Pokemon, nothing else. Similarly, you could buy a Nintendo or a Game Boy to play just Tetris. Because, like, come on, the Mario ports for original Game Boy were just terrible.
But then there's Super Mario Land, which is weird. But we've digressed. We should get back to...
Well, we're still focusing technically.
Yeah.
Well, the Game Boy's 8-bit.
The Game Boy's 8-bit.
But, I unfortunately never got a chance to play this one, but who played Battletoads?
Oh, I was going
to
bring that up.
Battletoads. I hate... What was it? Level 3 with, like, the little go-kart level or whatever it was.
It's not like a motorcycle.
Never got past it without the aforementioned Game Genie. All hail Game Genie.
I never played it. It never struck my fancy.
Mm-hmm. It was certainly a lot of, like, NES games had, like, these so off-the-wall weird concepts that, you know, these days if you pitch that to, a major game studio, they would be like, get the hell out.
I know, which makes me sad, because I think that's why I have such, you know, strong feelings about the NES, is, like, there's all these crazy different games, because everybody was taking just, like, let's try this. Let's see if it works.
It also didn't cost several million dollars then to make a game.
True. Several thousand, yes, but not several million.
I mean, like, they've even proved that stuff, redoing it in current generation graphics doesn't work. So let's take Bionic Commando.
That's true.
It came out, they made a remake, but that didn't play very well whatsoever compared to the version that was on the NES.
I mean, and think of the concept of Bionic Commando. Cybernetic dude with arm that extends fights Nazis.
Sounds like a winner to me.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
The one thing you gotta give a shout out, though, for the original Nintendo is the sports games.
I got a good story about one, but
Wayne Gretzky or whatever.
Well, did they have Crash for NES?
I thought they did.
Was Gretzky for 64?
I don't know. They definitely had. They definitely had a hockey game. It was like 2v2, and
no, they had one. It was just hockey.
Yeah, that might have been what I played.
It was called NHL Hockey. There's like a assortment of little guys you can get on there, including a guy who looks like Mario, who is called just the fat guy, and he was the most unstoppable skater. You could not knock him down, and he would mow everyone over. He was slow, but once he got a head of steam built up, everybody better get out of this way, because he's going with a big slap shot.
If we're going to talk about sport games, I think we at least have to, you know, mention Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Mike Tyson's, oh, yes. It tried remaking that one. Just, I don't know, did you guys play the Super Nintendo port of it?
No, I remember reading reviews on it in my Nintendo Power, but no, again, it just never really...
That's another thing I miss, Nintendo Power.
Yes.
I had to throw all mine away.
Yep.
I've ever seen the saddest little, like, I don't know, I kind of hope it was a true story, but it was just really a comic somebody drew, and his grandmother is, you know, calling Nintendo to say, oh, my grandson, you know, he needs Nintendo Power. Like, oh, well, Nintendo Power is, we're not publishing anymore, because it's just a recent... relatively recent thing. She goes, uh-oh. And so she goes and in her grandmotherly way puts together, like, a fake Nintendo Power and, like, just, like, does everything she can to make it real-looking. Not realizing that her grandson is not a 24-year-old neckbeard, but, she gives him the magazine and he looks at it, he's like, oh, my God. But he's like, thanks, Grandma, because... Remember, Nintendo was not just a video game. It was cool on all levels. There's a magazine, there's room decorations, bed sheets, everything. I think I
Pogs.
Had...
Pogs. My brother had them.
It's back in Pog form.
I have some of those Pogs somewhere.
I actually found my Pogs recently going through some of my old stuff. And I'm just like, where do all my slammers go?
See, looking at this list here of games, I'm like, I have that one, and I have that one, and I have that one, and I played that one, and I have that one.
I don't think we can talk about the N64 without bad-mouthing that damned dog.
From Duck Hunt. NES, not N64.
Or NES.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, for Duck Hunt? Oh, my gosh. He would laugh at your failure. He would laugh, and everyone would try to shoot him.
And it doesn't work. Yeah, a sad story. Our actual dog chewed up my Duck Hunt gun. So we had to get one of the crappy third-party Duck Hunt guns, which also got chewed up.
My pets decided to destroy anything like that.
Yeah. My pets were thankfully controller free of any chewing.
Yes. Show of hands, who had the power glove?
None of us.
Okay. No.
I never had Rob or anything like that
do
either.
You remember the ads? Because they made it sound like you'd be like, you know, like move your hand around and Mario would jump and do things. And no, but just you go. You
like, hold. No, it's just you have a controller attached to your wrist.
You could, but like from what I understand, the motion controllers on the power, because there were actually motion controllers involved.
Uh-huh.
They just weren't very good.
Oh, well.
So basically, what you're saying is Nintendo's been trying this forever.
Yes, basically.
Well, I remember I didn't have the glove, but I had the game the glove was supposed to come with because you actually played the glove.
Really?
Yeah, it was some, like, you know those three-dimensional brick breaker games where you shoot the ball forward and then you have to catch it back and then you have stop it from going back and hit it forward again? I had that game.
How do you do that without the power glove, then?
Just you move the thing around the room with the D-pad.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I segue back to sports games? Because I have a funny story about one.
Sure.
My grandma at her place got like a hand-me-down Nintendo from one of my cousins or something. And so when we were there, me and my brother and our four other cousins, we would play, you know, games with each other. And they had one particular baseball game. I don't remember which one it was. It was just a baseball game. It could have been just the Nintendo baseball. But my brother found the weird little thing that happened because he was player two and my cousin Emily was player one. Every time he took his controller and sort of just shook it and made the core go up and down, everybody would just automatically run all the time. If everybody was on bases, they would just automatically run. So he could get everybody out on Emily's team because they would be on a base. He'd flick it.
Oh, dirty.
And then everybody would start running. He'd get him out. And then when it was his turn, if he flicked it, then everybody would just keep running on bases and nobody could get out.
Oh, wow.
He actually made the counter go over 99 just to see what it would do.
Did it just go back to zero?
It made a weird symbol.
It's like any more than 99 lives in Mario.
Like, they made a, like, blue crown or something.
They'd be like, I have blue square crown lives.
Yes.
I have no idea what that means, but I guess it's a lot.
My mom was the only one who could do that. Where you took, in World, was it 3-1 or 3-2, where you took the turtle shell and go to the staircase and jump?
Yeah, any level of the staircase, yeah.
My mom was the only one in my family who could actually pull that one off. So whenever we get there, we're like, here, Bob, do it.
Get us lots of lives.
And she would. And we'd just do it until, time almost runs out, and then you go. Yeah. I don't know what it was about my mom, but she had the perfect timing for it.
That's pretty amazing.
Of course, I once did that and then accidentally ran the clock out. So it was just like... fail.
You still gained all those lives minus one.
Yeah.
One of the cooler things I've ever seen done, I forgot what magazine or website had a competition, but it was try to capture, modern Americana in one encapsulated thing. So what somebody did is they got an emulated version of Nintendo's RBI Baseball, and they played it over, and they got the audio track. They just didn't put any of the game sounds in there, really. They just played the actual broadcast in the 1986 World Series Game 6, and I'm not sure if this is going to go everyone's head or not, but this is the Bill Buckner game for anyone who remembers that. Basically, the Red Sox, they're cursed because they traded Babe Ruth to the Yankees back in 1918. And so 1986, they're in the World Series against the New York Mets. It's Game 6. The Red Sox are up, and basically the bullpen collapses. The pitchers just, they can't get the job done. And it's the final play play that would have ended the game, and the Red Sox would have won the World Series. And a routine grounder to first base rolls right through Bill Buckner's legs, and the Red Sox lose. And they took that and played the entire inning in RBI baseball with the original with the Vin Scully broadcast, and just outstanding because the guy had. You look back at how they did the rest of the game, and they just kind of out, get to the ninth inning, and just get in the points where they needed to have the right amount of runs at the end there. Very cleverly done. Very, very, very cleverly done.
So the game I was talking about earlier, Super Glove Ball. It even specifically says on the packaging, Power Glove and Joystick Compatible.
Hmm. I never played that one.
It was made by Rare.
But I don't...
Oh, okay. What games did Rare make during the 8-bit era, since you have, I'm assuming, a Wikipedia up or something like that?
I have a wiki of all the games that were made on the NES.
Can you look up what Rare made during the NES era, because I'm honestly curious now.
Because everyone knows they did the Super Nintendo games that were just awesome.
Yeah, I'm just curious, how they got to that point.
Let's see.
There's a whole bunch.
Versus Slalom, Wizards and Warriors, RC Pro-Am, Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, Anticipation, Sesame Street, 1, 2, 3, WWF WrestleMania, John Elway's Quarterback, Marvel Madness, World Games,
a lot of WrestleMania.
Taboo the Sixth Sense, California Games, Cobra Triangle, Jordan Years, Bird, One-on-One.
Hard and impossible, but...
Hollywood Squares, Sesame Street ABC, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Jeopardy Junior Edition, Wheel of Fortune Junior Edition, Iron Sword, Wizards and Warriors 2, Silent Surface, Wizards and Warriors 10, The Fortress Year, that one's for Game Boy.
2 to 10.
Battletoads.
They made Battletoads.
I don't think they made Battletoads. Battletoads was made by Konami.
It was published by Trade West, but according to Wikipedia, it was made by Rare.
Well, because the Konami code worked on it.
So
I love that you said the Konami code, because we have not yet mentioned Contra.
I was going to eventually get
the hardest damn game ever in the beginning of the... When the website Polygon launched just in the last couple of years here, you type in the Konami code, the Contra dudes would run across the top of the screen.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start.
Yep. That's the one. I guess the coolest thing about the nostalgia of the 8-bit era is because you had the two rival gaming platforms in the Nintendo Entertainment System and then Sega Genesis. And I guess Sega kind of ended up being... Or Sega Master System, if you want to be real technical about it. But the Genesis came out later than NES's life.
Genesis was 16-bit.
Well, because it kind of straddled the two Nintendo platforms around that time. But at least the point is you had, a Mario versus Sonic sort of thing. And it was the beginning of, video games becoming a bit more ubiquitous and not just the niche cultural phenomenon. Kind of like... I don't know, people who play more tabletop games or dice games or something like that. You know, it's kind of a niche thing, but everyone plays video games now. Everyone. Like, having something more marketable than just, like, I have my joystick and I, you know, play a video game in my basement or whatever. Becoming something that was cool and popular and as a TV show. The Mario Brothers TV show.
Starring a wrestler.
Starring a wrestler?
Yeah, that Mario was a... who played Mario? He was a professional wrestler for, I believe, WCW for a little bit.
WCW versus WWF. I remember the two wrestling leagues. That was entertaining as well.
Yes.
Captain Lou Albano.
Yes. Yes. He was a professional wrestler.
Do the Mario.
Hey, my zados. Oh, my God.
We had the stereotypes at all.
And then, of course, along with the Mario Bros. Cartoons, which weren't bad, there were the, you know, Legend of Zelda cartoons, which were awful.
Yeah.
They always made me... I was always frustrated with them, because I
well, wasn't
like...
Well, excuse me, princess.
Exactly, because it was so frustrating, because this is where Link talks, and Link is stupid, but at least he's better than the CGI Link.
Well, that is... Practically is the CGI Link.
No.
He's not, guys. I guess he's not quite as derpy. Is it dinner yet?
If I could eat a whole tango or whatever. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Nintendo lost their rights at that point for, you know, a little while.
Philips
CDI.
The CDI. Yeah.
The Zelda nobody told.
No, not the book!
Well, he had the big, like, little swoopy hair that, like...
My boy.
I think it was done with the same animation studio that did a lot of those other, like, weird European cartoons that were dubbed into English when we were kids, and you never really realized that the dubbing was just really awful because they'd just be like, moving their mouths and saying whatever dialogue. We'd be like, yay, it's David the Gnome fighting trolls or something. I don't know.
Okay, don't just speak out David the Gnome.
I love David the Gnome, but the dubbing was terrible.
Maybe I would notice if I went back and watched. I haven't seen that for like 20 years.
Speaking of going back and watching, whatever you do, do not go back and watch Captain Ann and the Game Masters. Do not do this.
I own it.
It is folly.
Do you remember The Wizard? The movie The Wizard with the kid who's really good at video games and he goes and like, plays...
I remember it existing. I have never seen it.
What? Because that you need to go back and see.
So my parents never actually had an NES because that's when I was going to my neighbor's houses and play it. But I remember when I saw The Wizard, I was like, yeah, yeah, video games, yeah, I don't need to play these at home, yeah, cool. Like, just totally got my 8-year-old Nintendo rocks off right there. It was just awkward. But it was, man, it was just crazy to think about how much of an impact video games... We're like the first generation to really... I mean, yes, Atari, but I still feel like Atari was kind of its own different weird thing. It was kind of just an extension of, you know, computer clubs and
yeah,
stuff
well,
like
couldn't
that.
You program your own games for the Atari? Like, if you had, like a crappy computer, couldn't you then take that disc and put it into the Atari and it would work?
I don't know, because Atari was cartridges.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Well, sure, they put you in a landfill.
I don't know, I guess I have a weird thing, because my parents, they bought an Atari together, like, right when they got married. Mm-hmm. Because they liked playing. In fact, they would take the Atari to my grandparents, and my grandparents and them and my other uncles that, you know, were still in high school and stuff who hadn't left yet, they would just all take turns playing games. So I grew up playing games from as far back as I can remember, because my parents liked to play. And that's why when we got an NES, I think I was maybe 4, and my brother was like 2, because it came out like, what, 85 or something?
Something like that,
because
yeah.
That was the year my that was the year my brother was born. It was in 85, but we bought one eventually because one of my dad's coworkers had one, and I remember my brother and I trying to play Mario. We could barely get past like the first world, but my dad bought it because he wanted to play, and my dad played more games than the rest of us. But we would all, you know, just gather around the game system and watch my dad play, because that's how I knew how to get through Zelda before I ever played Zelda, because I watched my dad do it. Same with Final Fantasy, but. It was just kind of like that, and we just kind of kept playing. In fact, my parents still play games. My mom, not as much, but my dad still plays.
It's funny how many franchises we're missing out here, because I'm just kind of, as you're telling these stories, I'm thinking, like, I remember I used to play Ninja Turtles with my friends.
Oh, God. The first one was
impossible.
Yes,
the
one on the water level.
Yeah.
But the second one. The arcade.
Oh, the arcade.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, those ones were fun when you had more.
Side-scroll brawlers.
Yeah, except it was specifically designed to take all of your quarters.
Yes, they would eat quarters.
Yeah, this is why I played on my NES.
Yeah.
I remember going to
Yes.
I remember going to Chuck E. Cheese and putting all of my, I'm not even worrying about like any of the ticket games.
No, God, I play skee ball all the time.
I'm awful at skee ball. You know,
I always wanted to play Castlevania when we went to Pizza Hut, because Pizza Hut had a Castlevania arcade.
Oh, like one of the NES arcades.
Yes.
Oh, those were fun.
The big old joystick.
And it was the.
The damn moat in Castlevania.
Castlevania is another terribly hard game.
But
very
close. Good though.
Okay, you want to hear about ridiculous Nintendo hard? Mm-hmm. Has anybody here ever played Castlevania 2?
I've played parts of it.
Castlevania 2, basically, you have to gather up Dracula's body parts, reassemble it, and kill him again. Because his dark miasma is leaking out all over the land still. So you're
saying that Dracula's leaking?
Yeah. So you have to go around to these manors and pick up body parts. Well, a lot of the game doesn't explain to you that you have to get other items first to get to places. So you have to find, like, the crystal balls, which certain people have. That way you can see floating invisible platforms. Because the first one you go into, there's, like, water. And everybody knows, you know, Simon Belmont cannot swim. So he just dies. And you don't realize there's this invisible floating platform. But the biggest part of it, which is the one time I had to really cheat. Most of these games, I kind of figured out myself through a lot of trial and error. But to get to the final village before Dracula's castle, you have to go into one particular manor, make your way through it to almost the back side of it, and there's this little section of blocks. You have to crouch down on the section of blocks and sit here for a set period of time with these particular items that you have to be transported to the final village to get the last item that you need so you can go to Dracula's castle. But nowhere, anywhere, is it explained that you have to go to that manor and do this.
Well, NES games, I think, in certain instances, required a strategy guide.
Or the Nintendo helpline.
The helpline!
My dad called one time to the Nintendo helpline.
Oh, wow.
I wrote a letter,
too, for Final Fantasy.
A strongly worded letter?
For Final Fantasy 3, mostly because I was like, will you give me a list of all the Magicite in the thing? And they're like, sure. And the guy did. He gave me a list of all the different Magicite you can get in the entire game and where they're all located and how you get it.
So I think mine was like, something to do with the original Legend of Zelda. Like, how do I get through this thing? I got this typewriter written letter, like not
computer,
not, you know, mass produced. You know, it is weird. It's like that they were personally answering things for people.
Yeah, because mine was that way too.
They can do that now. There's not enough people in the world to answer everyone else's questions about games.
After replaying through the original Legend of Zelda recently, screw level 9 and trying to get through it without a walkthrough.
I did it.
Screw level 9.
Is that the one where you're constantly lost in the never-ending graveyard or something like that?
No. That's the one where you're trying... That's the one where you actually try to find Ganon, but you have to go through, like, 4 different sets of stairs in the right order to get to him.
Yeah, because they're all the ports that you jump around. Yeah.
I was... When you mentioned Castlevania, I thought Castlevania 3 was one of the coolest games I'd ever played. That's the one where you start a Simon, but you can get, like, all the extra characters. There's, like, 3 extra characters.
Yeah, because you can get... That's Alucard's first appearance. Mm-hmm. And then you can get Grant, which is a little guy who can climb up on the walls, Sylvia, who's Sylvan, the one who's like the water.
I'm sorry, there's the one person who was like a white cowl.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking to. She looks whitish blue on screen. I always thought it was a girl. At least I like to think it's a girl because it makes me feel better.
My friend I was mentioning earlier was always the one playing these games. So I'd come over and be like, oh, well, this game's hard. And he'd let me play it a little bit. And I'd be like, okay, I gotta go home now or whatever. And then just come by another random day and they're playing. I'm like, whoa, who's this guy? How'd you get there? I'm like, oh, yeah, we find all this cool stuff. And I'm like, dang you. Mom, I want a Nintendo. Boy, memories of Nintendo.
I have to say, there was one NES game I only got to play once, and I wish I kind of had it, because it was actually really fun. It was the Home Alone game. Basically, it was the house, and you had to survive like 20 or 30 minutes. I can't remember the exact time frame from the Wet Bandits. You basically have places that you could hide in the house, and then you could just set up traps and stuff for the bandits. And so it was basically a cat and mouse game. You just had to control... Kevin, and just, you know, keep them out of their reach. And it got harder and harder because I don't know if they upped the AI or things, or they just got faster or something. But it was really fun because, like, there was even, like, the treehouse outside that you can go into the treehouse. You could go into the basement and the lights would flicker and stuff so you can make the lights go out. so they would get, like, lost in the dark, because the traps would, like, delay them and stop them for a bit. And it was totally fun. Rented it once at a friend's, when I went over to a friend's place, because she actually had an NES, and that was the game that we picked up. And it was a lot of fun. I only played it that one time, but I was amazed how much I enjoyed it.
There was Home Alone, and then there was actually a Home Alone 2 Lost in New York.
Never played that one.
Both by now-defunct THQ.
THQ.
Did you guys ever play The Goonies 2?
I played the... Yes. I remember playing The Goonies. Yeah, apparently The Goonies 2. There was not The Goonies, just The Goonies 2.
There was just The Goonies 2.
Yes.
The game made no sense, had no introduction, no, this is how this game works. You just kind of go in and, oh, man, what am I supposed to be doing now? I guess I... I'm so confused. I'm turning this off.
What franchise have we not mentioned yet? Mega Man.
I thought we mentioned Mega Man 2 earlier.
Yeah.
Now, what we might want to mention, just because it's somebody's namesake, is Rampage.
Yes, that is quite possibly my favorite game of all time. There's a reason why I have that name, because you are a giant monster punching down buildings.
And eating people.
Rampage just never got old. It just didn't. It was like the perfect like sleepover game.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's one of those games that's like, okay, you're done with this level. Now to do it again on the next level.
Yep. More tanks.
I always just remember at sleepovers specifically, like when everyone played Nintendo, people like squabble over whose turn it was or whatever. But then everyone kind of settled on one game that was the most fun to watch and play. And like two guys would always get on this crazy roll and just be killing it until finally one of them was like, I gotta go to sleep or something. Someone else would take over, and then they would be nowhere near as good. The synergy just was not there, and they'd collapse on it. And everyone would be like, it's time to go to sleep now.
Yeah.
It's only 4 in the morning. We should go to sleep.
Did I just say I'm really scared, looking at this list, that there's a GoGo 13 Top Secret episode for the NES? Because GoGo is a very violent manga anime.
Hmm. I don't know.
Yep.
Terrifying.
An assassin whose objective is to destroy the leader of the Dret group.
Interesting.
I wonder if that released stateside.
The game contains both side-scrolling and first-person shooter elements. North America released September 1988.
NES,
did they?
Crazy.
They did, but it was more of like because it was more like an adventure game, like use gun on man kind of thing.
A lot of old PC game ports and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, Ninja Gaiden. We didn't talk about Ninja Gaiden.
Never
There's a reason.
Never played it.
Trauma.
Wait, scroll back up. There's something I said in New Zealand. Kiwi Crazy, the New Zealand story.
What?
It was called The New Zealand Story in North America.
I'm guessing that was part of the Adventure Island series.
Solid Snake.
Metal Gear?
Metal Gear.
Never played Metal Gear.
I remember playing the original Metal Gear for NES.
Did anybody have a parent who bought a game off of, you know, what you call it, on
home
TV?
Shopping Network?
Yes, like shopping networks. My dad bought a game off of one of the home shopping networks. It was Clash of Demon Head. It's a crazy game. It's really... I guess if I had to pick a fun, obscure game for the NES, that would be it. You're basically the secret agent guy whose girlfriend gets kidnapped, but then you realize that there is this organization that's working with demons who wants to build a doomsday device, and they've kidnapped this, like, scientist guy to build this doomsday device. So that's your objective. You have to stop the demons in the doomsday device. Well, what was fun about the game is the stages, you could scroll either left or right. They were basically...
Left or right?
Yeah, because they were pathways. They were all connected. So if you started at one and went through it, you could go back into it and go back the opposite way through it. And so there was a variety of different things that you could get. Like, there's different items. Like, you can get the aqualung to, like, swim underwater. You can get the jetpack to help you fly through stuff. But the game's kind of cryptic, too, because you had to collect all these medallions. And then when you got to the doomsday device, you had to put everything in the correct order, because if you didn't, it would explode and you'd have to start all over. And just finding all these, like, sort of secret things in places. Like, there was a place where you can go mining for gold. And you take the gold to this girl on this other route somewhere, so you could exchange it for money, so you could call down the shop. This was the craziest thing. If you went to the shop, you hit the shop button, and this little thing that said shop, it scrolled back and forth on the screen, and you had to hit it. And when you hit it, you would be taken to a store. And it looked... Now that I know more about Japanese culture, it is so Japanese, the way that the little guy behind his little kiosk and everything, and you could pick your items for sale.
Wow. That, I think, was the fastest I think I've ever heard you talk.
Apparently, the band, they actually named the band one of the bands in Scott Pilgrim after that game.
Yes. Clash of Demon Head is named after this game specifically, It was fun. It was really crazy. The enemies were kind of really weird, and there was just some stuff that was totally like, what? But, my dad actually bought that off of a shopping network thing because we just happened. They were showing it. I remember seeing a game before. I can't remember what it was. I'm like, oh, I want it. And it was on a game, like a home television buying station.
Most of my NES games came from the pawn shop because my parents weren't exactly loaded. But, you know.
Most of mine were used.
Yeah.
So, looking at the Clash of Demon Head cover art, anybody remember how horrible some of the cover art for NES games was?
Like Mega Man 1 cover art.
On yellow.
At the end of the gun.
Yeah. It was in yellow and blue.
Yeah.
Or, I think there was some really bad Pac-Man cover art at one point I remember seeing that just made no sense whatsoever.
The guy, like, little Pac-Man guy who actually had legs and stuff, and the ghosts were chasing after him, and... It's like, as an artist, somebody says, okay, I have this little yellow thing being chased by ghosts eating these brown white pellet things in a dark maze with techno music. Draw something for me.
Drugs.
All right. But
that's the Japanese
version. That's the PAL region cover art, where she shows him in the blue suit with the gun as part of his hand and the master behind him, Wily's castle, and then Wily kind of it as a silhouette.
There's Gutsman. Who never played Mega Man to the Super Nintendo because he played the first Mega Man, and it was so stupid hard as a kid that you just never played it ever again, and you didn't touch Mega Man again until your grandma just happened to buy you Mega Man X for the Super Nintendo on a whim.
Mega Man X was so cool.
Mega Man X was fun.
But, did anybody else get three?
I started out on two, on Mega Man 2.
Yeah, Skullman is in two, wasn't it?
No, three.
Okay.
I really wish I had never played the first one, because then that
two was my first Mega Man. However, I really wasn't very good at them, so I didn't rent them all that often.
Was there one time for each man where you had to get his power first, you'd go in, like, to Electro Man's level or something?
No, it was Quick Man's level where you had the bolts of, like, fire. Otherwise, it's just like, okay, time to cheat on this. Time freeze.
Yep.
Did anybody else play, like, the adventure point-and-click adventure games that came out?
That was more... I think point-and-click adventure games were more on PC than they were on consoles.
There's a couple. We had, like, Shadowgate... and Uninvited.
The one point-and-click adventure game I think that did really well on the NES was Maniac Mansion or something like that.
Yeah, that's a cult classic. I never got to play
Maniac Mansion. Isn't that the one, the precursor to Day of the Tentacle, the LucasArts game?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I've played most of Day of the Tentacle. However, I was more into the Monkey Island games because, you know, that's the second biggest monkey head I've ever seen.
What else is on here? I mean, looking at this.
There's one thing we're all forgetting, though, and this game was so far ahead of its time for how old it was. Excitebike. You could make customizable dirt bike courses on an NES game and save them.
Yes, but you can only save, like, what, three?
Not the point. I mean,
the point was... It was an 8-bit era, and it had build your own track capabilities.
Incredible. I was so bad at Excitebike.
Kirby! I remember
playing
Kirby.
There were a lot of them. Oh my god. Kirby was fun.
Kid Icarus.
I've only played Kid Icarus on the Wii, and man, that game is hard.
Yeah. Of course, there were the NES games that made you exercise thanks to the power pad.
And even by exercise, you mean get on your knees.
Oh, like that. That Olympic.
Yeah,
whatever.
Oh, I hated that one.
The first way I learned how to cheat in that game was just getting your tiptoes and just like wiggle around really fast.
See John Elway's quarterback? Because, you know, we're all Coloradoans.
Yeah. So the problem is the pinnacle of NES football games was Tecmo Bowl. You get Bo Jackson, you win. That's just how the game works. Give the ball to Bo Jackson, you win.
Go back to the main list. I'm still scrolling, looking through it, you know, trying to think of other games I used to play.
Crystal's still waxing nostalgic as well.
Ice Climbers,
yeah. I guess a lot of these two are kind of the more obscure ones that, like, they were cool, but again, kind of culty, because when it's like, hey, this is in Smash Brothers, and now you're like, oh, I never actually played that.
No,
Ghosts and Goblins.
Yep.
You know,
I only played Super Ghosts and Goblins.
That game will make you, pull your hair out.
Okay, another game that was designed to take all our quarters, but then we got it on a console and we stopped. Gauntlet.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, they have Gauntlet games going on with the PS2.
Yeah, apparently Gauntlet and Gauntlet 2 are both on the NES.
No, because I don't know. I guess I have games for the NES that I actually bought with my own purse, lots of my own personal money. I can see lots of games on this list that my parents bought, like Faxanadu, which was interesting because it was Norse mythology sort of stuff. Because you were actually in the world tree, and the dwarves and the elves were like fighting with each other. But there's also these dark demon forces that are basically destroying the tree, and you are the chosen warrior who had to come and restore balance to the tree. But there is a lot of weird, obscure things in that game, too, because it was an RPG adventure game.
Well, did you guys ever play Dragon Warrior? That franchise? And that was the one where everything was still in old friggin' English. Like, thou hast something, and I'm like,
what? Yeah, it was hard. I only have the first one, because by the time I kind of realized what it was, I was back buying games from, like, eBay. 2, 3, and 4 got released in more limited quantity, since 1, I don't think, did the greatest when it first came out. But they re-released the other ones, but now people are, like, even selling used ones for, like, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 bucks used.
Thank God for emulation. I mean, I buy everything. What are you talking about?
Huh, apparently there was a platform adaption of Dragon's Lair for the NES.
Dragon's Lair was ported on so much different stuff. It's like, what did it originally come out on?
Laserdisc.
Sure, I'm pretty sure it's now available for the Xbox 360, by the way. I need to buy that.
Okay. I think if we just keep going on, we're just going to... Ooh, Darkwing Duck.
Chrysalis. See, I have all the... We have all the weird, obscure RPG games.
I remember my cousin had Chrysalis. That game is...
That's the game my dad had a call on.
Yeah.
And it was a stupid thing after he realized, he was in the final stage, and he couldn't get up further in the tower. And he was so frustrated, didn't want to stop. He called the hotline, and it was basically, you have to kill all the enemies on the level, and then the staircase will appear.
Of course, then there was the really, really bad NES games, like Captain Planet. God, I hated that game so much.
I'm trying to think of one that I played that was just, like, terrible. Like,
well, let's look at one game which we will probably pretty much all agree that, wait, this isn't the game that I was expecting. Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link.
Okay, let's put it this way. I agree with somebody who was going back through, like, replaying old games. And he's like, everybody hates Zelda 2. Because they're like, it's so different from all the other Zeldas. He's like, what other Zeldas? There was The Legend of Zelda and then Zelda 2. They were trying something different. There was nothing else yet, considering what we have now.
In terms of, you know, thinking about it in terms of, like, evolution, it represents a failed, you know, branch.
Right.
Well, yeah. We tried something and that was a horrible mistake and we'll not revisit that.
Well, because there was another good example of that was Super Mario Bros. 2. Which made absolutely no sense.
That was not a Mario Brothers game. That was called Doki Doki Panic in Japan.
Right.
They thought Super Mario Brothers 2 was too hard for Americans.
And too similar to the first one, that they didn't want to do it, so they reskinned this other game, and that's why everything's kind of crazy.
Thanks for the, they basically voted confidence, Japan.
No,
that's why we didn't get
Nintendo
Final Fantasy
America,
2.
You can, thank Nintendo of America for that, because they were... That and a lot of censoring and weird translation.
But I was watching an interview, I was listening to to the Post interview. Miyamoto considers this his biggest failure because it didn't do what he wanted it to.
What did he want it to do? Did he state what he was really wanting from it? Because to me, it's like the hardest Zelda. Just because it's kind of ambiguous on what you have to do.
I'll try and find the interview so you can see it.
Okay. But it's just hard. Because what's so hard is you have to travel so far to get to the final temple. And then you have to get through the final temple. I had to memorize at one point the quickest, shortest path there and how to get through it. Because
you could run out of keys.
Yeah, that was another thing. There was a bug. You could run out of keys. If somebody else has played this game and didn't run out of keys, please tell me what I missed. Because there's one dungeon where I purposely go a different way so I can save one key. Because when you get to this other dungeon, there's literally a door when you first get in. You can't get past it without a key. And you don't find another key beforehand. So you could actually get stuck in the game. Maybe I've missed something all these years, and I've always done that. Just like how we always missed if there was a key card on one of the, you know, guards in GoldenEye, and you didn't have to shoot at the tower on the other side of the door to make the guy come down and open the door for you. We got stuck in the very first stage. because we couldn't find the key card. It was in, like, some room somewhere. I totally missed it. So we're like, how do we get through this gate? How do we get through this gate? So we got to a point so we could shoot at the guard tower, at the guard, to make him come down to investigate and open the gate for us. And that's how we did it forever until somebody told us, picked up the gate. And we're like, oh.
All right. Well, join us again next week, and we'll be discussing the 16-bit era.
Well, if we can get everybody together again.
Yes. Battletoads versus Double Dragon.
That was in the NES era.
No, that was NES and SNES, sir.
Ah.
I'd say there was a lot of crossover games around that point.
Yep.
It was probably...
Super Game Boy, the best peripheral ever.
Yes.
And you?
I was going to say Super Nintendo, my love of all RPGs before they all got sunky.
Yep.
So expect that in a coming podcast. In the meantime, you can find us on thegameslave.com, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, search The Game Slave on any of those, you will find us.
Eventually.
Are you doing that trying to get our attention, or did you
eat something hot? No, I am so hot!
So, in the meantime, everybody have a great week, and game on!
Game on!
Game on!
Game on!
Excelsior!